أهلا وسهلا، مرحبا بكم في Unboxed.
Welcome to the Unboxed podcast. Okay, 3, 2, 1. Boom. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, friends, strangers, how you doing? We're back with another episode of Unboxed. Here today with a very interesting guest, unusual guest, known as Bohemian Fatma.
Hi.
Hayatullah Fatma, it's very good to have you here.
Thank you
for being with us.
Thank you.
I'm very excited to get to know you today.
I'm glad to share my stories with you.
Good, good.
Three words. Who is Bohemian Fatma?
A yogi, self-love activist, and I don't know. I'm stuck.
We have all the time in the world. We're gonna. I think my memory is gonna max out at 3 hours.
Okay.
So take your time.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like, just like, I don't know.
So yogi, self love,
activist,
and
let's say body positive.
That's body two positive. Words. Okay. What's that mean?
Like. Just to make people more comfortable in their own skin, in their own body.
Hello.
Like, just not to, like, overthink how they look. Just be happy with everything.
Cool.
I like it. I relate to it. I'm very, very excited.
Awesome stuff. So, it seems like you're really into yoga. How does your story with yoga
begin? It's very random. So... I studied abroad, and when I studied abroad, I did my internship here, and she told me to, so I studied interior architecture in Australian University in Malaysia, but I did my internship here, mm-hmm. and I continued my summer, so I worked for her for like 9 months, and then she was like, oh, I want you when you're back. After 2 years, I finished mm-hmm. uni, and then I came back, and she was away. And I'm a workaholic, so I stayed 2 months and I moved to India to work. Yeah, so I randomly moved to India. I stayed there for a year and I discovered yoga there. There was a yoga studio. So I was staying in an apartment with, it was a two-bedroom apartment with 13 people. And one of them lived on the other side, like she worked on the other side of the building and she saw a yoga studio. And we decided to book a class for all of us. At 6 a.m. and we all went, and I was so bad. I was so inflexible. I was out of breath. I was so bad, but I felt so good after it. So I was the only one that continued going every morning, every other morning at 6 a.m. And I don't know, I just got used to it. And at that time, I used to be like a travel blogger. So people saw me or followed me from my first yoga class till now. So they saw me how...
Wow.
I developed my poses. Yeah.
Wow. Wait, there's so many things I want to ask you.
Yes, many questions.
You unloaded a lot all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Why did you decide to go to Malaysia to study?
It was very random. I don't know. For me, when... I don't know. Like, I feel like my dad wanted me to study either in US because we have relatives there
okay.
or Egypt because he's Egyptian.
Okay.
But I was like... No, I can't speak Egyptian. I'll be so lost there. And then in US, I didn't like the mentality there. I don't know. I didn't see myself there. And I felt like if I'm going there and someone's going to, if I have a relative, it won't give me the freedom to be fully independent. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to be thrown into the wild.
Okay.
And my mom, she wanted me to go to UK to where she studied or to go to like Dubai to have her close, but I'm like no and no. I just felt I always loved Asia. Like I really loved, like I spent my first 3 years of my travel blog all in like Asian countries. I really love Asia. I don't know. So I just
so were you traveling around the world before you went to university?
No, after okay. right, like it was my plan. It was like I will start from Malaysia.
Okay.
And yeah. I felt like I found, like, I wanted, yeah, like, a high standard of education, but in a very chill place. Mm. And I felt Malaysia, like I found that course and I studied interior architecture, and that's what I wanted since I was 14. So I felt like, okay, this is a perfect place.
It is a really fascinating place. I went to Kuala Lumpur a few times as a teenager, and it seems like sort of a mix between China and India, the Philippines and India and Thailand and all these cultures.
Yes, even like Nigerian.
Melting together.
Yeah, it's like it's a very multicultural country. And like even religion wise, I really loved how the unity, everything. It's just a beautiful country to study in, I feel.
Nice.
But I feel like in my first semester I was all on my own, but then right after like 6 months, everyone from Bahrain moved to Malaysia. Like I had people with me from kindergarten were with me in university.
What?
Yeah, I had someone that was with me in kindergarten school, and then I changed school and that person was in the other school, and now I went to university abroad and that person was
in that school.
I think that's
meant
the definition
to be in your life. Okay, the difference in response.
Yeah.
I'm on like meant to be in your life, and he's like stuck.
Yeah, so it's just, yeah. But I feel like I grew the most when I was in India because I really had no connections with Bahrain. I was so away.
What was your lifestyle like in Malaysia?
I think the first year was very crazy for me. Mm-hmm. Like I used to have panic attacks. Like I was very stressed out. I'm I used to be a worrier. Mm-hmm. Like, I used to always find something to worry about. I was a perfectionist. I had to, like, after my first semester, I came back to Bahrain and I told my mom, I'm going to fail all the subjects. I'm 100% sure. She's like, it's okay. You went to school early. Because I was 17. I couldn't even get internet in my own apartment because I was underage. And everyone with me, so they skipped me a few years because of my grades. And everyone with me was in their second semester. And they're mostly Indonesians, and they teach them like 3D, all the softwares from high school. So I was so behind. Mm. So I just came back. I thought, I'm going to fail. And then I got straight A's. So I'm like, okay, I need to chat. And then I lived my life a bit. Like I started making friends with different nationalities. I learned so many things from about different nationalities. I think I was one of the most Bahrainis that was not with Bahrainis. Like I was I really wanted to push myself to go out of my comfort zone and like meet other people, and I think that's helped me a lot when I was traveling too.
Well, like, good for you. I think when you're, especially during that phase when you're studying, it's being away from what's familiar.
Yeah.
Like Bahrainis or people from home.
Yeah.
That's always there for you when you're back here.
Exactly.
But to be able to experience what's uniquely available to you wherever you are abroad.
And
make the most of it is great. Because I think it's so easy to fall into that because it's comfortable.
Exactly.
When you're in a foreign place and you see familiar faces, you hear familiar dialects, they maybe cook familiar food at home.
Yeah.
It's maybe easy, tempting to fall back into that. But cool. Good for you.
Fatma, شنو يعني أنا حس اللي يدرسون برا or anyone who lives abroad يرجعون ب يعني something changed in them.
Yeah.
Right? And they either keep it, يحاولون إنه يعني يعلمون الناس أو يحاولون إنه they kind of translate that into like I don't know, their own culture. And so what was يعني من أهم الأشياء اللي تعلمتيها ومن أهم الأشياء اللي تغيرت فيك؟
For me, I feel like being independent, 100%. Like mentally, physically, financially, emotionally, everything. Like I had my own like studio apartment. So I didn't even have a roommate, nothing. So I had to spend so much time with myself. I feel like I got to know myself like completely in that time, and I had time to explore my ideas and everything I thought about. So I feel like that's the main thing. Even like financially, when I see like I was very into being independent since I was like 14. Like I got my first camera from working on my own, like at night and like random like jobs. Like arranging CDs in a random office in like in the early 2000s or whatever. Like, it was very random. So I feel like I got to understand how to be financially independent a lot. I remember once I finished my whole allowance in like 1 week. And then I discovered how to be financially independent.
Yeah. Nothing better than
yeah, like I started like literally like selling sick leaves. Yeah, and making theses for people, and that's how I started my first my first trip to like on my own, like backpacking apart from like islands in Malaysia, was Philippines. And it was after my final submission, I did someone else's final submission the same time, and I got that money like in the same day I sent my submission. And I just went to the airport. I was like, I want to go to Boracay. And it was very random because I got into airplane and it landed and it was not Boracay. And yeah, apparently there is no airports in Boracay, so I have to go into this island and take a ferry and then a bus. Okay. I didn't know anything. Like, I was just like, I had like a tiny, tiny backpack. That's like, I was so lost, but I was so happy. Like, I'm like, okay.
Have you always been this spontaneous? Was it something that you were experimenting with?
I was experimenting with a lot, but I feel like my mom had a lot of things to do with that because she always pushed me to be like, I don't know, to like to explore ideas.
Okay.
And like, she's very spontaneous and adventurous in a different way. Like, she used to always travel for work as well. Like, so I was like, okay, I want to be like that when I grow up. I want to just travel. But yeah.
You know, a random question that I just want to throw out there was, you know, it feels like it's so much fun. It's so exciting when you live life outside your comfort zone.
Yeah.
Why do you do you have any ideas about why more people don't do that? Do things that are uncomfortable, do things with uncertainty, do things that might be risky.
I think, I don't know, but most probably is because they were spoon-fed everything. Mm-hmm. They didn't felt the need to do something for themselves. Whatever they wanted, they got quick, maybe. Mm-hmm. So why do they go to the hard way? I don't know. I think, I don't know. I can't answer that because I never had that personally. But I feel like maybe they were never kept in a situation that they had to really challenge themselves. Mm-hmm. Like even when I told my mom I wanted to study abroad and everything, I was the only one from my siblings that like went to uni. My sister, my brother, they didn't go to uni. But they both like they're just like stable jobs, routine. They're not like me. I'm the wild one. I feel like I'm the entertainment of the family. Like literally my dad calls me every morning. Oh, what's new in your life? Like I'm like the new series every day. But
you're the reality show, yeah, basically.
Exactly. But I think my mom helped me with like being out of my comfort zone, because I remember once when she got the idea that I really wanted to study abroad and she wanted to test me, I came back from school one day and she got me tickets to go to Dubai on my own randomly. I'm like, oh, what? Yeah. You're going on your own. I'm like, you're sure? She's like, you want to live abroad, right? I'm like, yeah. She's like, okay, this is your test. So I feel like my mom helped me to challenge myself a lot, because she saw that I really wanted to do something different.
That's amazing.
Wow. Yeah. Sounds like a really cool mom.
Yeah. She's a nonprofit psychologist, so I feel like she was testing her methods on me too.
Probably.
Yeah.
But at least it turned out to like a benefit for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think also it gets passed on by our parents. Our parents grow up a certain way.
Yeah.
But her siblings are nothing like her.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean in general, to answer your question.
But I'm like the youngest, so maybe by my time they were like, I don't want to raise you. I'm done. Yeah. So maybe I had to raise myself. Yourself. Yeah.
I'm the youngest, so I feel like I'm going to say, لا. أنا حطيت يعني the same amount of time that I put in your eldest sibling. I'm like, that's actually impossible.
My mom approves that statement. Yeah, like my sister had to come to my parents' teacher meetings. Yeah. But like when I had to go, like when I wanted to go out when I was like 10 or 11, and I go to my mom, I said, Atla, like on Thursday, she's like, Seltichtich? I'm like, oh, okay.
Interesting.
Yeah, so my sister was my mom, and my mom was my sister. They switched roles. Yeah.
Nice.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So you said like the biggest transition for you was when you went to India, though.
Yeah.
So that decision, so Mo asked you about like how you made the decision to go to Malaysia. For me, it's how did you make the decision to work in India?
I don't know. It was...
It work? I don't think it was work.
It was work.
Oh, it was work?
Yeah.
Oh, dang.
And I was illegal worker in India at some point.
Yes. Listen. We need to talk at some point because I want to do something similar.
Yes.
I have a dream
to
be a radio host in Mumbai.
I hate Mumbai. I don't suggest.
Okay.
I hate big cities. Maybe that's why.
Maybe I'll reconsider location, but it has to be in India somewhere.
Okay.
Because I'm kind of obsessed.
Okay.
You need to help me out with the...
I'm an India expert.
Awesome.
Don't worry.
Awesome. We'll touch base by then.
Okay. So, I don't know. It was... I wanted to work and... I don't know. Like, I got this random opportunity from Temkin. And Isaac, they supported, like Temkin paid for my tickets, they paid me additional salary, everything, and so those people told me you can work in any place in the world. Like I went to India, and then when I got the approval that they're going to fund me and everything, and I was like, so you can choose another country? I'm like, no, I really want to go India. So they had to meet with me and show me a presentation about what is India. So that's like, and they had malaria at that time too. So I'm like, no, I know what I'm going into. I want this. Like, you're sure? Because we had a lot of people that wanted India and then they changed their mind. I'm like, no, I want this. So like, it's a 6 month job. I'm like, yeah. And then I'm going to stay 6 months more because I want to travel more inside. Like, you're serious? I'm like, yes, I'm very serious. So I randomly got a job. I talked to the boss online, like on the phone for an interview. He said okay. I'm like okay. And then next day I called
like
my dad.
Easy interview.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, like it was like an English teacher for IELTS and TOEFL for British Council.
Okay.
And I just like I got everything done and I called my dad and I told him, by the way, Baba. بروح الهند بشتغل هناك. He's like, huh? What? Like they have rape. I'm like, I can be raped in Bahrain too. He's like, yeah, but India. I'm like, yeah. You never know what can happen. Like, I always believe like if something is going to happen, it's going to happen wherever I am, whatever I'm doing.
Okay.
So like, and then he was like, diseases and whatever. I'm like, I'll go get to like my injections or whatever I need. And then when I went to the hospital and I was like, I'm going to leave in 1 week. They were like, you need to get the injection 1 month before you travel. So they had to give me pills to have every day for like one whole year. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And I don't know, it was very random. Even like when I landed, so the people that were supposed to pick me up, they were 12 hours late. Yeah, so I was just sitting at the airport on my own. With my bags, I'm like, I don't know where I'm going. I don't know who's coming. I'm just going to wait here.
What a start to the trip.
Yeah. I don't know, but I was very chill and I was very surprised, and everyone was so surprised. But I don't know. I feel like I just learned to like just chill at that moment. Yeah, because I was like, if I'm going to, it was like it won't change anything. So let me just chill.
That's a good way to look at it.
Yeah.
And خلاص, I'm here. What's another 12 hours?
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And then, I don't know, I just, I worked for like 6 months. And then the other 6 months I was backpacking around. And even when I was working, in the weekend I used to volunteer in small villages. And they were so cute. They used to gather all the mattresses from all the, like, there was like, you know how the movie of the pea thing? I don't know, this like Disney movie.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Like there was like so many mattresses over each other, like maybe 14 mattresses, and like, are you comfortable? I'm like, oh, yeah, of course I am. There's, yeah.
Oh, wow, how sweet.
Yeah. So I don't know. I feel like I felt the most grateful when I was in India, because even when I was in winter. So let me speak about my accommodation. I didn't have a bed. Okay. So my bed was made of belts. Okay. It was no mattress. And I didn't complain. I couldn't even complain because I was there during the winter, like the beginning of the winter till the next year. But in the winter, I saw people like sleeping on the road shirtless. Mm. So I'm like, how can I complain about my bed? Mm. So I feel like at that moment, I felt like really grateful. And like since that day, I feel like I changed my whole life with everything. So yeah.
Wow.
Aww, I feel like I'm really sad.
Wow, no, that's really amazing, Salah. And I always, every time I go to India, I get like, it feels like I get a slap in the face.
Yeah.
Just reality, just
yeah, exactly.
Bah, hits me so hard.
We take so many things for granted.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And the thing is, I find this true particularly in India because I think people, despite the difficulties
yeah.
and the conditions that they're living in, they're so kind.
They're so sweet. Yeah. And everyone everyone's house is open. Like literally whenever there is, all the weekends, everyone's house is open. And like their guest duties thingy, I don't know how to explain it. Like they even have to feed you before they eat. And I'm like, this is so weird. Just eat with me, please. Yeah. Wow. Like I feel like they're so kind. They're abnormally so sweet.
Yeah. They are. Yeah. Something magical about.
Yeah.
About
everyone's house is open. Once I went to a wedding, like it was a group wedding. Like there were like 25 weddings in the same time. Mm-hmm. And one of them invited us. So I just went and the whole neighborhood gathered jewelry to keep on me. And I'm like, oh my God, I feel like a princess. Yeah, they're so sweet and they all help each other. And especially if there is a foreigner, they're like, they want to show them the best of everything.
Mm-hmm. Wow, something to learn from.
Yeah, exactly.
Where were you in India?
So I was 6 months in Gujarat. It's like, I forgot the map, but probably west, central west, I don't know. I was there in a city called, now it's called Vadodara, before it's called Baroda, and it's in Gujarat. And then I started traveling around Kerala, Goa, Rajasthan, Himachal Pradesh. I saw snow for the first time in India, which is so random.
Yeah. I see that in the movies sometimes. Yeah. I've never been to India, but most of my family has. Aww. And they really, really love it. And like my mom, and it feels right at home there because like she speaks like fluent Hindi and Urdu.
My God.
Yeah. So, but I've never been. I want to, but I think I'm just worried about. I can't do.
Don't
like
overthink.
Really
it, just throw yourself
places.
There.
I think everyone needs to go at least once in their life, because I think like Fatma mentioned, it's impactful.
Yeah, no, I have a friend who went and she came back actually sad. Like she was really down.
Yeah.
And I couldn't imagine, and I still can't imagine because I've never been, how like going somewhere can have this impact on
exactly.
you.
Exactly.
And it was so like bad for her that she said, like, I loved it, but I can't ever go back.
For me, you need to see the good side. Like the good side
hurt her so much.
Yeah, it did. Like, and for me, like
it was too painful.
It was very emotional
yeah.
to see every day like how people are actually living. But like I spent 1 year there and I feel like it's not enough. I would go again. And I don't know. I think for me, to cheer me up before coming back to Bahrain, I actually took myself to Maldives on my like single solo honeymoon. Yeah, I did
what
like
a change though.
Yeah, but I did like couch surfing, so okay. I'm like, okay, at least I'm not so fancy.
Awesome.
So does your time in India like, do you feel like you carry that with you always?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. I can imagine it's that impactful. You, what about you, Mo?
Yeah, I think about it a lot. I think it's Yeah, definitely a place that's changed me in a lot of ways. And like you said, like I see so much beauty in it too. Like it's
yeah, like the landscape. Ah, oh my God! Like the Himalayas, the desert in Rajasthan, the beaches in Goa. Like it's like 5 billion countries in one country.
Wow. Yeah, and also the history is like the temples that they have, the traditions, the. They've mastered so many things over the years, like medicine, yoga, and their food is out of this world. Like, taban, you might be a bit hard on your stomach.
I was so surprised that I didn't get sick in India for a month. And I was eating street food.
Nice.
Yeah. I was like, okay.
You must have had some good pills, whatever you're taking every day.
Probably.
You did a good job.
So I wonder, like, and you've used the word grateful.
Yeah.
And I feel like grateful is an adjective. I use that adjective a lot. But sometimes I think in action, in reality, how does gratitude look like?
Yeah.
So what I want to ask you is, in your life, when you say that you're grateful, like, how does that look like? How has that really impacted you?
I don't want to be emotional because in my last... yoga course when I was in Spain. So there is some stuff about yoga, like the self rules that you need to keep for yourself, the rules you need, like there's like some like structure to yoga. And I chose before going to the course to speak about santosha, which is being grateful or satisfied. And when I had to, like, it was my homework, and then when I had to present it, when I was in Spain, I was actually crying. So I was like literally just telling myself, Fatma, get your shit together. Because I was like getting so emotional because I really feel like I've been through so many things that tested how like how grateful I am. But I feel like just not feeling like you need to get so many things, you know, you don't need to do... like just to learn the difference between wanting and needing, at least that was a big step for me in the matter of everything, not just buying, but even like for me, like, do I need to feel this? I don't need to feel this, so I want to feel this. Like it's very complicated, but I feel like a lot of people ask me how I'm always very, very happy. And I feel like because I always find something to be grateful for. Like even when my old yoga studio became a music studio, I'm like, okay, maybe this is a reason, or maybe this happens for me to go into a new place, to challenge myself, to change. Because I don't like routine. So maybe this is a step. And even with my job, like I changed my day job last year, and then I didn't like it in the beginning, but I feel like when I started to take a step back and being grateful of the small things, it makes me happier instead of just worrying about small things that don't really matter. Actually, it's just like the standards we keep for ourselves that are usually very high because of expectations.
Mm-hmm. I love that distinction between, you know, sort of understanding what's something you actually need and what's something maybe you're craving. And a way I like to think about it in my mind is sort of, if it's something in the future, if you're thinking about something like future oriented or past oriented, it's usually not future is usually a craving. It's like something, a desire you have or want, but it's hard to be in the present moment and not feel gratitude because when you're really in the present, like I'd say right now, we're having this conversation, really focused. there isn't really space to think about what these new shoes are. I don't know.
Yeah, I used to always have 5-year plans, which is really funny to me now because I used to write them in a paper and keep them in my wallet, and a lot of people help them, but for me it used to stress me out. And now I don't have any plan. Like getting a new job was very random, getting changing my yoga place was very random. When I was in Spain, I like suddenly started the course on the first day. I actually cried in the end of my first class. I'm like, this is so random. How did I end up here? Like, even when I travel, I used to plan, like, when I went to Malaysia, my bags were ready 2 months before my trip. Mm-hmm. Now I pack on the same day and I don't realize that I'm traveling until I land. Like, literally, I started being so into the present that I don't believe things are happening until, like...
takes a while for things
yeah,
to sink in.
Exactly.
I have a question for both of you, actually. And this is something that I sometimes wonder about because I don't feel like I'm very spontaneous. To an extent, I'm not that kind of person. I plan every day, but I'm not this spontaneous. And recently I've been meeting a lot of people who are extremely happy because they're spontaneous.
Yeah.
But it makes me wonder, okay, is هالصفة أن الواحد يكون عفوي and grabbing every chance they get and doing things. Is that something that's naturally in someone? Can you acquire it? Is it okay if you don't have it?
See, don't get me wrong. Yeah. I'm not very spontaneous as I sound. Like, for my trip, I actually planned my budget. I like to plan budgets. I don't know why.
Yeah, budgets, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like, literally, for my trip, so I did a Europe trip. So I was in Netherlands, Belgium, France, Spain, and I actually needed to do like a budget, like how much I need and like the days and everything and to book. So I did that, but when I got there, it's okay to not follow the rules. Like, I don't stress over not following the rules. I actually, like, even my budget, I only spent 75% of my budget. So it just, you go with the flow. You keep a structure, but it's okay, you go to the flow. I feel like that's how I started working now. Like, even with my, like, day-to-day stuff, I keep somewhat of a structure that I need to be here, I need to do this. But if it changes, it's okay. I feel like just understanding that, it's enough.
Yeah, so it's more about being very flexible.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's also focused on physically getting flexible. Maybe it's related somewhat.
Maybe.
So how flexible are you now?
I can do a full split, which I was working on for a while. And so my back bend now, it's way deeper, way, way deeper. And the funny thing is that, like, the thing about, like, being content, what got me really, really emotional, because I was so disappointed with myself at some point. Because when I wanted to be a yoga teacher, I had this thing that I don't know why, it was the wheel, like the back bend. Some people have the headstand, the splits. I don't know why I was so stuck into that pose, even though I couldn't do anything else. Like, I couldn't do anything. I don't know why I was so focused with this literally pose, this one pose. And I remember I was just driving home one day and I was like, how will I ever be a yoga teacher if I can't do that pose? I got home, I just threw my bag, I did the pose without even a warm up with my jeans, like literally. But I wasn't proud of myself. I was like, why did I just do that? Okay, I pushed my mind limits, but why did I think that I needed to do this to get my yoga teacher license? And that time the plan was to go to Nepal and get my yoga license, but I was like, I don't deserve it now, because I thought that. So I literally went to Nepal and just went hiking and stuff. So I was like, when it's time, I will do it. I will not connect it to a pose.
Okay, so that's okay.
Yeah,
okay. I was just gonna tell, like, you walk pretty... me through the thought process.
Yeah, for me, I feel like If I do something wrong, I punish myself mentally too. Mm-hmm. Like, even my mom, when she had to raise me, she didn't need to punish me, because I used to always find a way to punish myself, because in a very, like, kind way. That's what make me develop. Yeah.
Okay.
Wow. So when you're in India, that last, after you worked for 6 months.
Yeah.
The next 6 months, did you get deeper into yoga and
no.
focus? Not really. You were just exploring.
I was just backpacking.
Okay.
It was very random because in the apartment there was one Italian guy that just got in the apartment, but his job didn't exist. So he and then they found them another job, and he was like, "You know what? I just want to do Fatima. Can you hire me?" I'm like, "What do you mean?" He's like, "I want to backpack with you." I'm like, okay. And then we spent like 2 months traveling. And then I came back to my city. I'll just go to Maldives and come back to Bahrain. And then I found out that I was an illegal worker. Because if you're going to stay in India for more than 6 months, you're supposed to go register in the government that you're going to stay in 6 months. Mm-hmm. I didn't. So I was registered as an illegal worker. And then my passport... When I went to the embassy here, they're supposed to keep that. This is a working visa because I applied as a working, the working documents and everything. But it was written like not to work and it didn't check. So, yeah, I was an illegal worker in India.
Sorry, India. But yeah. It's okay.
It came from a good place.
Yeah. I didn't know, I swear. Exactly.
And so when did you do your teacher training? It sounds like, or when did you decide that that's something you wanted to do?
So after India, I came back. I got to the job that was waiting for me in the beginning. I stayed in it in 1 month and then I quit because I felt like I wanted to travel more. And then the plan was to go to Nepal and start a backpacking business. Then I don't know why. Suddenly I got homesick because when I was in India, I actually made a lot of connections with people in Bahrain when I started talking about my travels and everything. And then I changed my plans and I came back to Bahrain and I got a job. And in the interview, I told them, listen, in 1 year, I'll take 1 month leave to go get my yoga license. And with all the interviews I went, I told them that, like, this is my rule. If you're okay with it, because there's some jobs that they won't let you take the full 30 days mm-hmm. at once. So they were like, okay. And then exactly after a year, I went to Bali. I got my 200 hour. And the funny thing is that backbend, I couldn't do throughout the course because I had a surgery in the center of my heel, like a corn removal. And they removed the stitches like 5 hours before my flight. And I did like the first 2 weeks of training just with one foot. But that's made me learn about a lot of modifications and how to deal with the injuries. So, yeah. And throughout the course, I didn't do with the back bends at all.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you did 200 hours to get certified.
In Bali for the first license. And then recently I went to Spain to get my another 300 hours. So now I'm a 500 hours registered yoga teacher.
So it's basically a month of non-stop yoga, essentially.
Yeah.
What is it like during that time? It feels like
to be honest, in the first week I wasn't pushing myself so much, and I felt that was okay because I was listening to my body. It needed rest. But I learned so much, especially anatomy. I discovered that I have no idea what my body is, what anyone's body is. So that was the hardest thing for me, like the anatomy, even for my second training. But yeah, I learned so much, and I didn't know about all the philosophy about yoga until I was in that course because we had a monk teaching us everything. So... And I feel like that helped me in my classes now because everyone says there is an Indian vibe or there is an Asian vibe in your class. And I feel like because I learned yoga for the first time in India and I got my license, everything from a monk. So I feel like it's all helped me to be like the yoga teacher I am today.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. When you're... Yeah, now that you're a teacher and you're practicing, do you feel like you find your own style, your own like unique way of guiding people through classes and through poses? Yeah. Or is that something you're still working on?
The first, I remember when I first got my license and I came back, I didn't know how to do a sequence. So I was teaching the same sequence for like a good 4 months. So, and it was a split. So I feel like I feel so bad for all my students because they only had to practice splits for like 4 months.
Whoops.
But now.
At least their splits got better.
No, they didn't. I think I overworked them so much. But now I feel like so different because now I can't write a sequence. I can only like just do it on the spot. Yeah.
Wow. How interesting.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I don't know how the jump happened.
So but like on the spot when you're alone.
Yeah, I just tell them the focus will be, for example, backbends, and the meditation will be like a lotus flower, and that will be the intention, and I just do the flow while I'm there. I don't know why, I just can't do a sequence, because I feel like that's not what's the word?
Realistic?
Yeah. Thank you. So, yeah, because I feel like each student's body is differently, so I need to modify them on the spot, and even how the class is like feeling changes the sequence too. Like if they're having a good day, are they exhausted? Like I feel like that I can think about all of this when I'm there on the spot. I can't plan it. Like even if for the intention, like I can't think about writing an intention and saying it there because I feel like that won't be genuine. Because I feel like I need to feel it in that moment to say it.
So that like my gut feeling is it feels like a lot of pressure when you have a lot of students there and you're on the spot.
I feel like maybe because for me it's hard for me to follow a structure. So maybe having a sequence stresses me out more than going with the flow. Because I feel more comfortable when I just go with the flow.
That's fascinating.
I'm wondering, Yanni, as a teacher, and I feel like yoga is different than other exercises in that you need to be, like, your soul, your spirit, it needs to be all there and present. So how do you deal with, and you're having a bad day and you have to teach a class?
I have that a lot, but for me, teaching is my passion and whatever I'm feeling should not be there because the students will take from it. And if I'm having a bad day, I just leave it outside of the door and I enter like completely different. And I don't know, like even when I did my training, so in my last training in Spain, I was the crybaby. Like I had to say, I don't know, I was so emotional. Like even good, like someone gives me a compliment, I would cry. I don't know why, I just couldn't handle my emotions like at all. I don't know what happened to me. So then when I had to do my exam and teach a class, I just did what I usually do, which is just getting the intention the same time and everything. And everyone got so emotional because I feel like they felt it from inside. So I'm like, this is my payback. Now you can all cry. I can't, like, I'm not the only cry baby. But literally, like, everything that you feel, everyone feels. And if you're very genuine about how you feel, it will reach to them deeper. Like even there was one of the people in the training, he was 45. Even him, he got emotional when he had to give me my feedback. He was like, you touched me like deeply inside. And I was like, he wanted to talk more and he couldn't because he got emotional. And I feel like that's when I do that, I feel like I made it. Like I'm happy. Because people felt what I wanted them to feel, and that's the only thing that I really, really want. Even in like, because the poses, they can develop in their own phase and everything, but if they can get into it mentally, that's, for me, that's the feeling like, okay, I'm like, today is a good day.
Wow, that's powerful stuff. I want to take a few steps back.
Okay.
For those listening and who are maybe familiar with yoga, but want to learn more about sort of why yoga? What's in it for me? Why should I consider doing yoga?
Yeah. So for me personally, because I'll talk about how it's helped me personally, it's helped me to be more, not just flexible with my body, but even with strength. Like, because you use your body weight a lot. And there's different types of yoga. There is vinyasa, hatha, ashtanga, restorative, yin, and everything. And I explored, and I advise everyone to explore on their own time, different teachers, different yoga, because that's, like, if you go to a yoga class, don't think that this is it. Because I feel like you need to go to different classes, different teachers to know what you're into. But for me, when it's connected to mental enhancement, like emotional enhancement, that's when I feel so connected to yoga. Like when I get out of the class feeling less stressed, more happy, more love towards myself, and not feeling pressure into doing the poses, but still like loving myself to push more in my poses, that's when I feel like I really love yoga. Like, apart from the common things, that's okay, you get more flexible and have more strength and everything, but it really and truly does, and it's supposed to make your stress lower, more chill. Like, there is a documentary on Netflix called I Am Maris. It's about this girl that's she used to be anorexic, and she used to have a lot of anxiety. It was mainly because of anxiety. Mm-hmm. And I remember she went to a yoga class. She was talking about it, that it was very intention related, mm-hmm. not just a workout, because I feel like many people are mistaking it into a workout, but it's supposed to be like something that will make you mind more present and more positive, and when you have a very good intention, that's when everything good happens. And now she's like one of the youngest teachers, like she's like 15 years old and she's a yoga teacher. Oh. And she like learned how to deal with her anxiety actually from yoga.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And what kind of like yoga are you teaching at the moment?
Vinyasa. And so my first certificate was vinyasa, which is like a flow yoga, and now my new license is ashtanga vinyasa and restorative and meditation and breathing techniques. So yeah,
interesting. It sounds like you have a lot going on.
I'm trying.
When you talked about splits and yeah. Like overworking that group of students, that poor group of students, I was you made me like there's something you brought to mind. So my aunt and I, we've had this dream, this goal that we're working towards, which is the splits, and we've had so many struggles. I think it's been maybe 2 years we've been trying on and off, and it's not easy. Like doing the splits is really tough. And I went through phases where I'd try training every day and I feel like, oh, I'm like overdoing it. I feel like I'm getting tighter and more sore. And then I tried once a week and I'm like, okay, this is good, but I'm still getting tight. I don't know. Like I haven't been able to find the right balance, or maybe I need to get better at this thing to my body. I'm not sure what it is.
See, for me, which I feel like a lot of people would disagree, but for me, when I keep my mind towards something, I mess it up. I don't know, maybe because my mind is pushing me and I'm not listening to my body what it actually needs. But I actually did my split when I wasn't thinking about my split. And I actually did my wheel when I wasn't thinking so much about my wheel. So I feel like mental adjustments is more important than body adjustments sometimes. And like I told you, like when I was doing my, like when I first started teaching and I was teaching the splits for like four months, my split didn't get any better because I wasn't understanding about what's my anatomy is happening, what is my mind is thinking. My mind wasn't so focused because I was so, I don't know, I was so busy like teaching other people, not so busy like getting it into my like own time. But I don't know, like for me, understanding where each thing has to be anatomy wise and the proper adjustments and just having time, just being patient with the pose. Because even my spit, like let's say for the first 2 years when I started doing yoga, I was mainly focused about my back bend. And when I felt like my back bend are in a good place, I started thinking about my splits, but it was not like, oh, I need to do the split. I was just like, okay, let me start opening up my hips more and take the pressure away from my back a bit, because it was getting too intense. And I feel like that's the time where I just did it. But there are some poses, like there's one of my favorite poses when I'm doing the splits and my foot can't touch the back of my head. That's happened very unplanned. I was in Amman with my friend, she's a photographer. And I was like, oh, let me try to do this. And it just happened. Like, literally.
You've
like
never I done it before.
Yeah. So I feel like sometimes, and even like I used to go to pole fitness classes, and when they tell me a move to do it, I can't do it. And then some other day, and I just randomly do something, they're like, how did you do it? I'm like, I don't know. Like, I feel like for me, when someone tells me that you need to do A, B, C, I freak out, because I keep pressuring myself and then I just can't do it because I have an expectation now. But when I just randomly play around, I think that's where I'm.
So are you saying like you think a lot of it is a mental block?
Yes.
Interesting. Yeah, I think I don't have any personal experience doing this, but I heard from a friend, he took some sort of drug and that's completely relaxed him, and he was able to do a pose he'd been working on for like ages. All of a sudden, bam, he was in that pose.
Yeah.
Just because he was in a different state of mind.
Yeah. And I completely support that idea, because a lot of people have that, but I always support the idea of getting that mental chillness naturally. I don't want to push drugs. I'm not practicing drugs, because we had this discussion about this when I was in the course, because there's something called samadhi, which is the highest level of enlightenment. And we had this discussion with another yogi in the course, and he was like, I can only reach it under like psychedelics or drugs. And I feel like, why do you take a shortcut? If you practice your mind and you push your mind into just feeling everything around you, it will happen there naturally by time. You just need to be patient. I think we're living in a world that we want everything fast. Not just money, but even like physical appearance, mental states, everything. So I feel like yoga is a good way to just chill and take your time to reach wherever you are, like physically, mentally, everything. Maybe not financially.
You know, you've mentioned you know, self-love and positive body, like being
body positive.
And I feel like working out in general helps with that, but yoga especially, because I feel like I've tried yoga, but I've never done it regularly. But I see people discovering strengths that they never knew they had. This is a way to, like, if you really want to love your body and appreciate it, one way to do that would be yoga.
But that's, yani, I can never imagine in a, I can carry my body weight in my hands.
Wow.
Or I can do a wheel and take one hand up or one leg up. Like, I feel like yoga really helped me with that. And even it toned my body so much. Like, I actually have a shape now. Before I was like shapeless. Like, you know, like there's the pear or apple. I was like, I don't know what shape I am. But like now I actually have a shape. Like, and a lot of my students felt that there was a change in their body. And even in their mood, and even in their whole life, on how they manage stress at work, stress at home, or anything. I have like people coming with their like a mom and her son, and even their connections improved a lot, because I feel like doing that and as a bonding thing is very nice too, because you're sharing something that is helping you to other people. And I feel like that's the main reason. Oh, I didn't tell you how I started. I wanted to teach yoga. So when I was an illegal worker in India, my roommates wanted to cheer me up because I was so depressed. I was like, oh my God, I'm stuck. Because if I leave the country, I can never come back, and I need to sort this out because I want to come back. So they used to cheer me up because I used to go to a yoga class in the morning. So then after their work, I used to teach them whatever I learned in the morning. So that's how I started teaching. Like,
oh, nice.
Yeah. So I feel like when I made them feel like how I feel, I'm like, ah, this feels so good. I want to do that.
Wow. Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Well, that's when it clicked. You realized, yeah, okay, this is what I want to do.
Yeah.
Wow. And how's the reception been in Bahrain since you sort of came back and you're trying to spread sort of what you learned, what you're passionate about?
Surprisingly, what's the journey been like? Really, really good. And I felt in the beginning people were so curious about how I am doing yoga, because I was like them in the beginning. When I went to my second class, I never felt that I can do so much things because of the stereotype of yoga. Like, you need to be slim and fit to do yoga. I remember in my second class yoga ever, I saw an old couple, like there was an old guy doing a headstand. I'm like, what? What's happening? People can actually do this, like normal people can actually do this. And I feel like that's what's lacking so much in media. So I felt like I never felt like I wanted to live in Bahrain. The plan was I would always live outside. But when I came back and I felt like this, like people need this, and I saw that people actually need this here, it made me want to stay more, and people connected with me more, and people felt more comfortable with their own body, and they understand their limits more. Because I feel like, I don't know, for me, I feel like yoga became a trend, but the trend went to a different direction. I feel like when I started teaching, everyone asked, in even till now, and like I got random teachers sometimes come to my class, and after the class, like, how do you get your students? And I'm like, I don't know, because my place was actually in a very dodgy place, like very random. Like, it was known, you're going to the dodgy place in Sanad for yoga, because it was known as the dodgy place. Like when I first started, it was in Saunder coffee shop. Upstairs was just three people, and then I discovered that so many people wanted to come to my class because they saw my journey from my first class to my license on Instagram.
Okay.
And I was very public about everything. I'm a type that I'm very raw with my thoughts, with my day, with everything. Yeah. So then my friend, she has a restaurant in Andalus Garden called Sidecheck. And she didn't have any furniture yet. She was just starting. And I used that space until she got her furniture. And then I got this random place in Sanaa, the dodgy place. And people still came from my first class here till now. And it was a very random place. Like, I made a rule for me when I first started teaching yoga that it's not going to be in a gym, it's not going to be under someone. And I made standards for myself because I wanted my vision completely, 100%, without any other people affecting in it. I felt like I already do that in my day job. This is for me and just me. And I feel like that gave me, and I'm very lucky that I had that opportunity to actually understand my vibe. My vibe, I don't know why that sounds so different in my head. I talk to myself sometimes, it's okay. So yeah, so just my vibe and just my whole, like, how the India thing, the Bali thing, everything came into place. I feel like I took my time into discovering what I want to teach and how I wanted to teach it, and like, just the idea of it.
So you mentioned you feel like yoga although getting more popular, the trend is going in a different direction. What do you mean by that?
When Phil started, everyone just wanted to do yoga, and I felt like it was more into just like a workout. Like, oh, this is a new workout technique. It felt like that. And even when I went to a class, I went to several classes, it felt like so much pressure into doing the poses rather than listening to the body, listening to what you're going on in your mind, like what our thoughts are coming and how to get those thoughts movement in the mind without any judgment. Like, it was just like a workout and it was pissing me off. That's when I feel like, okay, I want people to actually feel yoga like how I felt it. So, I don't know.
That's beautiful.
I want to go back to the, you know, the whole like media portraying.
Yeah.
In general, it's so I've struggled with this too. Just not even in yoga.
Yeah.
In general, the image is to be slim, fit,
exactly.
Whatever. You know, yeah. Even if you're, you know, working out, if
yeah.
You're there's no way that you're like fit if in their heads, there's no way that you're fit if you're, you know, like overweight or you look different or you're not very slim.
Yeah.
So do you still struggle with that? Do you still struggle with that perception? Wala? Do you feel like you overcame it?
Me personally, I overcame it, but still people feel... I still see people going through that so yeah. much. Because I completely understand because I'm vegetarian and I'm very like healthy on what I eat. And I work out like 5 a.m. I go to the gym. I do my yoga. I do pole fitness. I did powerlifting. I do everything. But this is my body type. And people should understand like there's so many things going on, like your hormones, your genetics, everything. And if you're going to starve yourself to be skinny, it's not worth it.
Yeah.
You will not find happiness when you're whatever size, whatever weight scale number, whatever it is. If you're happy with where you are now, the most important thing is you take care of yourself. You're healthy. That's it. Who cares about your appearance? Who cares about how you look when you sit, how you look when you're running, how you look, whatever. If you're just enjoying workouts on your own pace, in your own time, your meals, you want to eat random shitty meals sometimes, it's okay. As long as you're listening to your body with your own limits, I feel like that should not be the issue. But a lot of people still are like, no, you need to look like this. Your BMI needs to be like this completely. If you're not this, then you will have people, even with flexibility, people think that you need to lose weight to be flexible, but actually so many of my skinny students are less flexible than my like chubbier students. So I mean, like, I feel like, I don't know, like the body image should never connect into like what kind of athlete you are, what you can or cannot do, what you can eat or cannot eat. I feel like
have you always had that mentality, or do you feel that you've shifted?
I've shifted completely because I feel like I kept pressure on myself for a really long time, because that was surrounding me 100% of the time. Everywhere I go, anyone I see, people kept so much. Don't get me wrong, I always loved my body. I never cared, I feel like so ugly. Right. I never felt that. But I've always felt that I need to be better in it. I need to do better for it, but not in a healthy way. Not in a completely healthy way. Maybe it was a bit self, I don't know. I still talk to myself. But yeah, I feel like it took some time, and people, I saw even like how me being comfortable with myself, how much it affected other people, and it actually made me happier, because I see my students, I see people that are on my Instagram sending me random messages that I never met, that how me being comfortable with myself have helped them. Yeah. And I feel like if I did that, that's enough for me. Everything, like literally, like, I really like this, just those small things.
Yeah, literally, if يعني صراحة إذا أنت قاعد تساعدين أحد إنه يحس إنه يعني هو مرتاح في جسمه, قاعد تسوين لهم خدمة كبيرة. Like that's the biggest favor you can do to anyone coming from someone who's lived with this.
Yeah.
I can personally tell you, يعني it's extremely important to have a person like you, who's very confident, very, you know, it makes a huge difference. I don't think you might not realize it always, maybe when you get these messages, but it's necessary, yani.
Yeah.
Especially in this day and age where there's like a very, الحين it's changing. I feel like we are moving towards being more accepting, being more open to different.
It's
But still there's that image, right?
Exactly.
What beauty looks like.
And sometimes even me, people sometimes don't feel it, but sometimes even me, I'm human. So sometimes I get into that hole too. Okay. And it's like everyone goes into those holes too. So I remember in my Oman trip, and my friend even noticed so much because I was very insecure. And even her, she was like, what's happening to you? I'm like, I don't know. I'm off. And I feel like at least when you realize that, that's a good step.
At least
when you realize that you're a bit off and you need to be with yourself and just get yourself in the right space is a very good step.
Yeah. Also, when you realize that even الناس اللي أنا أشوفهم إنهم they're perfect, they're probably thinking that there's somebody else that they're that's perfect, and it's like this cycle, a never-ending cycle that no one talks about.
Yeah,
because everyone thinks that this person is perfect, and they don't know how that person actually feels about him or herself. It's important to keep that in mind. And I notice it in my friends. يعني أنا عندي some of my friends who to me have like the perfect bodies. And I hear them complaining about their bodies
all
the time.
Exactly.
And I'm like, huh, that says something, right? We all complain about our bodies. It's important to just be healthy. And I think that shift is happening.
Yeah.
And يعني هاي أهم شيء. أهم شيء إن الواحد يكون بصحة, healthy, doing good things for their body. بس.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah, and when you mentioned, you know, having that awareness, you know, if you're feeling a bit off, just being aware. I think it's key. I recently heard this acronym that says it's HALT, H-A-L-T. So just ask yourself, are you feeling hungry, angry, lonely, or tired?
Yeah. that's a very good one. Because I usually eat when I'm just like, I'm just tired.
There's so many things that are sometimes.
I really like that.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that makes so much sense. I just wrote it down and I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
That's like me most of the time. I'm one of those four things. Whenever I'm feeling down, it's usually that.
And it might be like, just, I don't know, if I'm feeling low, it might be that I haven't had a nice social interaction with some of my close friends in a while. Maybe I'm feeling a bit lonely. If I haven't slept well, it's a big thing.
Yeah.
You know, like just going on just a few hours of sleep for a few days can really affect your mood.
Yeah.
Amplify things in strange ways that make you see things differently. So, yeah. HALT.
Yeah, I know that
might be helpful.
I need to think about that more, because I feel like for the Oman trip at that time, I was very stressed from my old job, and I was just very, very off, like mentally. So I feel like that affected me. I wasn't working hard or working out or eating healthy, like nothing. I just, everything fell apart at that time because, it's one of those.
Yeah. And it's so important to realize in our how we feel a lot of the time can be, you know, HALT.
Yeah.
Can be dependent on external factors.
Exactly.
But when you just, you know, when you when you recenter basically and just look within and you realize ترى اللي أنا قاعد أحس فيه actually ما له دخل فيني.
But that's
the result of something else, which means and that's probably temporary.
Exactly.
A week max, and
everything is temporary.
Yeah,
everything. I don't feel like there is anything that's permanent, literally.
Absolutely.
Everything is changing.
And I think that's beautiful because that's life.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh. We're going deep.
Yeah.
A lot of that reflection happening.
Isn't Amman such a magical place?
Hmm?
I feel like Amman is so magical.
Oh my God, I went twice and it's not enough. It's
really can't believe we have a place like Amman in our backyard.
Exactly. Exactly. Like the desert, the mountains.
The people.
The people are so sweet, so kind.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh.
Exactly. That's it. You feel like that all the time.
It's like, oh. Yeah. I was stuck in the desert. I was driving and my friend was there and this a random person came and helped us. I'm like, people are helping us. And then Bahrainis, he got stuck and
Bahrainis
we didn't help
also
him.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Maybe Bahrainis rank the second. I don't want to rank. I don't want to start that.
Yeah. I literally feel like in Bahrain, everyone is like a family. I feel like because of the small community.
Yeah.
I feel like we're very small, so we have to deal with each other because we see each other everywhere.
Hmm.
So we have to be...
we have to deal with each other.
No, but like we have to.
Reputation becomes important.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's another one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lots of people had, from my family, had a lot of issues when my account was blooming because it was public. Mm. And at some point, when I started posting my yoga poses and everything, everyone is like, "What? You're doing that? Bahrain is very small. Like, people will talk." I'm like, "I don't mind. I'm not doing anything wrong." I actually had to sit with my mom and give her like a presentation of my idea, like of what's the message that I want and why I'm doing this, and to explain to her that this is my reasons. And if someone else think of it in a different reason, it's not my issues. It's their mentality. At least you know that this is my ideas. A lot of people were not understanding, but I'm very happy that now when everything that I wanted happened, now they're understanding. And now even my dad, my mom, whenever I do anything, they don't even question what I'm doing because they were like, okay, you proved us wrong so many times. Now we trust your vision completely 100%. But in the beginning it was very hard because at that time it was very uncommon for a Bahrain that is covered or kind of covered and like modest kind of thing, kind of, because I don't like to be labeled to something because I feel like it's something personal. I feel like I don't need to explain myself sometimes.
Yeah,
so I feel like just as a person keeping myself out there was very hard for me, like personally, but as long as I did what I wanted to do and make other people comfortable with their body and try yoga or try whatever they feel that will make them happier and just push themselves, because I feel like that's the main thing that I was really doing. I was pushing my boundaries physically, mentally, just everything. My whole life was about just going out of the comfort zone, basically. I feel like if that helps someone, I feel like I did my job, even if it's just one person.
Amazing. Yeah, no, I can definitely see anyone following you. There's so many, mashallah, there's so many things that you're offering and all in one. Arafi, and you're doing your yoga, you're doing your thing. You know, this whole idea that comes with yoga, right?
The
intention. Even if you're not doing yoga, I feel like it's important to be aware, always aware of your intentions and everything that you're doing. But there's so many messages and it just goes way deeper than, you know, as you said, just a workout.
Yeah.
Amazing. Yoga was never, I've spoken to Mo about this. I've never, I've tried it just to try it.
Yeah.
But I think maybe it would help in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially mentally, like de-stressing, maybe being more centered. Maybe.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You mentioned you also have a day job. Is that what?
I'm sorry, that came out so bad. Yeah, I forgot about that.
That says it all.
No, it's I studied interior architecture, but after I graduated, I don't know, my passion went out because I'll tell you something silly and don't laugh at me. Okay, you can. I don't know. So I actually thought, you know Oprah, right?
Yes.
So you remember Nate, the interior designer?
I'm not sure.
There was this random guy.
Okay.
It was an interior designer. She used to bring him in to do like that for houses, for the show, or whatever. And I literally thought from I was 14 until my first day of uni, that's all I would be doing, that's keep a sofa here and keep a sofa there. Literally. And then I discovered that I need to learn softwares. I'm like, shit. Oops. Yeah, I didn't know about like AutoCAD and like 3D Max, and I have to do all of that. And my biggest issue, even like for my final year, I'm very good with concepts, but technical, I'm so bad. Like literally my friends from uni, whenever we go to a restaurant, anyone, you know, when there is like the tap water is not getting to the sink,
yeah.
It's very off. Yeah. That would be my design. Like literally like in my final project, it was flower of life maze inside a building. And my teacher was like, if there is a fire, what will happen? I'm like, if there is a fire, maybe it never, maybe the fire never happens. And I literally had to change my project and like my whole concept, everything in my last, like after he told me that, and we had a big, because we had a concept lecture and then a technical lecture. The concept gave me an A, the technical lecture gave me an F. So I
guess you're like, good, you know what you're good at.
Yeah, but technical, like people will die. Like literally like I exploded because I didn't understand where like what should I do. So the next day I just gave them something basic, like just four walls, like I gave up, that's it.
And no one's like, gonna die, yeah. In this.
And he was like, what's this? I'm like, you wanted something,
it's a safe space.
Yeah. Yeah, I was like, you wanted something like fire, like fire, like safety, like this is fire. It
blocks
safety.
The wind. It's
like, anti-family. Yeah, like this was like a very normal building, and he was like, he, like I feel so bad for him because he had to like sit and like, just explain that. Okay, I can do concept, but like I feel like technical, I just explode because for me, I don't know. I don't think I'm very technical. I'm very like conceptual, and after I studied. And I went to India and I came back and I got the job. I don't know. I think it was my luck. I was stuck in the toilet department. They were doing a house and they were just like, they were in the phase of just doing toilets for the whole month. And I'm like, I can't even go to the toilet because I'm so sick of looking at toilets and designing toilets every day. So then I just, I'm like, okay, that's it. And I quit and I traveled and then I came back. I'm like, I was trying different majors and like applying for different things, but then I got into kitchens. So okay. I was a kitchen designer for like 2 years and a half.
Okay.
And I liked it because the technical isn't so much. Just like keep the oven here, fridge here, that's it.
But safety.
And safe. It was safe. I think. No one died yet.
So what do you do now? Are you still?
I work for Fatma Ansari Design, and she's a very well-known interior designer. But I told her that I see myself more into marketing because I feel like that's what I do with my... Because I have a yoga brand, and I showed her what I did to my yoga brand, like yoga mats, straps and everything, and my own like yoga classes. Mm-hmm. And I showed her like how I've been marketing myself. I feel like I find myself... I always tell my mom this because... she has a master's and she teaches in Saudi in a university for business and marketing and PR. I always tell her, I think I learned everything when I was in your tummy because she was pregnant with me when she was doing her master's. So I'm like, I did my master's.
when I was in your stomach.
Yeah. So, so yeah, like now I do marketing and the furniture trading. And I feel like I'm very lucky because now my boss, she actually understands and she appreciates, really appreciates that I have my own business, and she really supports me, like even like just mentally, that's enough for me that I'm very like proud of you for doing that and everything. So yeah, I do now marketing and furniture trading, and whenever I'm free, I'll help them with just the mood boards for the interior. I'm like, I'm done with technical. That's
as technical as you can go, basically.
Yeah.
Do you see yourself, like, I feel like yoga is where your passion is. Do you think, do you think like it's something you want to eventually 100% dedicate your time to?
And that's what I'm planning on currently. I'm getting a permanent space soon, hopefully, within those few weeks. I got some place temporary.
So right now you're not teaching at the moment?
I'm teaching. Oh, you're teaching. But in a temporary, like it has always been like temporary. Like the past, it was my own place, but it was not completely my own place because other people were using it. Okay. It was like just a random hall. Yeah. And now it's the same thing. It's just temporary with like in Soul Culture. It's in Sar and they're all into like mind and stuff, and like they're doing Tai Chi and stuff. I'm just using one of their halls, but I want my complete own space just to do whatever the hell I want to do with it and just do whatever non-technical design I can do. Yeah, and just like just play around in the space and have a physical place for my products, because I have essential oils and just like yoga mats, straps and stuff. So I just feel like I want to build a tiny store and a small yoga place and eventually just have it as my full-time thing. I was really worried into turning yoga into my business because I never wanted to connect it to it financially. I never wanted to be independent completely on it, and to, like that will make me stressed about it. But I feel like now I'm in a place where I feel like I don't think I'll ever be in that place, hopefully, and like in a place where I will connect my my financial statements to my yoga. I created my yoga products so that at least that can be in products, not my own teachings. And I just want to work more into teaching workshops and just develop it, because I see it's growing, but I'm not giving it the attention that it deserves.
Okay.
Right now. Yeah.
So is that inshallah happening soon, where you're going to get your...
Yes, hopefully.
Inshallah, yeah.
Fingers crossed.
Cool. Yeah, for those of you listening, if you want to follow Fatma's journey, she's at Bohemian Fatma on Instagram. I'm sure you can find all the details on her page. We're excited to see how your journey continues to unfold.
Thank
you. Wish you all the best. And towards the end of our episodes, we like to conclude with a quick fire question mode.
Oh my god, my mind is so slow.
Just spit out whatever is lingering in that interesting mind of yours.
Okay.
You ready to go?
Yeah.
What's your favorite yoga pose?
Ajvada Nurasana, which is the wheel pose. It's my logo.
Nice.
Favorite workout outside of yoga?
Pole fitness and powerlifting. It's in between.
Cool. If you had to get a tattoo?
I have 11. Yeah, whatever I wanted,
your,
I got.
Your favorite tattoo? Which one is your favorite?
Sharaf, which is passion.
Hello. It's 11, huh? Wow, that I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah, no one expected.
What's your biggest weakness?
When I have to, I feel like, my biggest weakness. When I feel like I have to plan for the future. Like, even for, like, 1 week. Because even, like, for my classes, I used to do a weekly schedule. Now I make a monthly schedule. And even when I shared it in my WhatsApp group for my yoga students, I'm like, your girl's an adult now. I can make a commitment. This is a one-month schedule.
If you had to recommend a guest to be first to invite on the show, who would you recommend?
I like Dina, the pole fitness instructor. I feel like I agree with how she thinks about self-love and listening to your body, and surely pushed me on my own pace.
What do you think? So we talked a lot about discomfort.
Yeah.
What do you think is the most uncomfortable situation you've been in?
I think when I wanted to go to university, my dad gave me the money for my first year, and my brother wanted to get married, and like every typical like Arab men, they have to take a loan to get married, which I don't understand. Like, if you can't afford it, don't get married, or just get married, but like it doesn't have to be all that. So anyway, so I gave him the money, and then he couldn't get the loan because of the company is not registered, and like a long issue. And like suddenly I found my place in like, oh shit, I can't go to uni. Oh. My money is gone.
Okay.
And I'm the type that I'm very like, I like to be dependent, and I kept so much pressure on myself since I was really young. And even like, I don't like to ask, I don't like to get money from my parents, and even all my travels, everything that I ever did was 100% from my own money. And I just, at that moment, I'm like, oh my God, I never want to be in a place where I would ask for money, even if from my own parents. Mm. And I don't know, that was like my, I feel like that was my lowest point.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm going to go for a quick bathroom break. Just keep going while I do my thing.
If you could live anywhere in the world forever, where would it be?
I think Bali.
Bali.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. I feel like India too, because I feel like I can change around the like states, because it will give me a different country feeling too. Okay, I'll say India.
Okay.
Yeah.
That changed.
Yeah. Yeah, I changed quick.
We spoke a lot about body image. And so if you could deliver one message to anybody struggling with their bodies, with how they feel about themselves, what would you say?
I feel like don't compare yourself with anything, with anyone. Don't compare yourself even with yourself on how you were before. Just be happy with where you are now.
Yeah.
Literally, yeah. Because I feel like there are so many times I was comparing myself with how I was in the past. Why the funny thing that even in the past, I was not happy with myself. I felt that I was fat later, like, and now when I was fatter, I feel like I look back, I'm like, what was I thinking?
Yeah.
So I just feel like just connect with, just be present with your body. Don't compare yourself with anyone, with how you used to be, how you want to be. Just be happy with yourself and do the best you can without any additional stress that we already have in our daily lives.
It's a beautiful way to wrap up, I think. Thank you, Fatma. Shukran. Yadij
al-afya. Thank you for having me.
This was very enlightening.
Aww.
Really, really enjoyed
Thank
it.
Thank you. Keep doing your thing.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in. Please follow us on Twitter at @unboxed_podcast or visit our website.
Our website is unboxedpodcast.com. Through our website, you can message us directly. You can also see history of all of our podcast episodes. We're also available on Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
And also, please feel free to contact us via email at hello@unboxedpodcast.com. Thank you.
We'd love to hear from you. See ya.
See ya.